Thank you, Joanne. Thanks for hanging with us today. To introduce my topic, or actually to introduce a metaphor for the moral to the story at the end, I'd like to share a little story with you. I have three kids, and the two oldest are teenage boys, and they can be brutal to parents, right? So we were driving the other day to my 13-year-old soccer game, and somehow my 15-year-old decided it'd be funny to say about my husband, "Well, Dad's about 20 minutes from death." And if you understand, if you have, if you've had a teenager, it's just totally sarcastic. But my 13-year-old followed it up very quickly with, "Okay, I'll start the timer." And it was just funny, and only meant in jest. But I just wanted to remind us that, I know in public health we talk a lot about prevention, but we still have a long way to go for people with disabilities in particular in addressing the needs of the people who are already experiencing these conditions. And I think some of the things that I'll be talking about today will point that out. I'd like to acknowledge the contributions of my colleagues on this project, especially Mr. Ostransky, who's making faces at me right now. Also Kimberly Phillips, Monica McLean, and Charles Drum, who aren't here today. This work was funded through a grant from NIDR, and we have no financial relationships to disclose. We know that unmet healthcare needs vary by sociodemographic characteristics like age and race or ethnicity, but whether and the extent to which they vary by disability or disability type is not well understood or well studied. And often these unmet needs can lead to a greater risk of complications. And this is especially true for people with disabilities who are more likely to experience a thinner margin of health. This risk and the continual growth of the population led us in another study, a previous study, to conduct an investigation into just overall unmet healthcare needs among the broader population of people with disabilities. And in that study, we found that people with disabilities were significantly more likely than people without disabilities, regardless of insurance status, to have had to delay or forego necessary care. At the same time, we conducted another study, and this was with Steve Gulley, Beth Rash, and Leighton Chan. In this study, we were looking at the overlap or the relationship between high use, chronic conditions, and disabilities, and specifically in working age adults. And we found that even after we adjusted for sociodemographics, healthcare access, and number of conditions, medical conditions specifically, people with disabilities had a higher likelihood of high service utilization than people without disabilities. There's a lot going on in this slide, but what I really wanted to highlight is, and for you to focus on at this point, is the size of the blue circle, which represents people, the population of people with disabilities, to the size of the yellow circle, which looks kind of white, but the big circle on the screen. That represents all working age people. So just keeping that in mind, how small the population of people, working age people with disabilities, is into the population as a whole. So knowing that people with disabilities have both a greater likelihood of delaying and foregoing care, as well as an increased likelihood for increased health services use, we wanted to study the intersection of these things. So the purpose of this study was to first identify heavy healthcare users among the U.S. working age population with a focus on subgroups of disability, specifically people with physical limitations or people with multiple limitations, and also people without disability. And then we wanted to examine the extent to which each of those groups had to delay or forego necessary medical, pharmaceutical, and dental care. And finally, we wanted to compare those populations to see whether there was a difference among high users within those each of those groups in how much, how, the extent to which they had to delay care. To do this, we pulled 7 years of the medical expenditures panel survey data, and that was from 2004 to 2010. And again, we focused on the working age population, 18 to 65, and the medical expenditures panel survey, or MEPS, is representative of only community dwelling population. So no people who live in institutional settings are represented through this. This resulted in an N of about 102, unweighted N of about 132,000 and a weighted N of 1.3 billion. We classified our population, the whole population, into one of six mutually exclusive groups, and I highlight mutually exclusive because no one was counted twice in any of these groups, and that's important. So we divided it into people with cognitive limitations, physical limitations, hearing impairments or vision impairments, multiple limitations, or no limitations. And for the purposes of this study, we did not include cognitive limitations, hearing impairments, or visual impairments in our analyses because the N's were too small when we got into some of the logistic regression results. We defined high use as anyone who used greater than or equal to the 75th percentile at that level of care for ambulatory visits, inpatient stays, emergency room visits, or prescriptions, the number of prescriptions filled. And the primary outcomes of interest were receipt of necessary medical, dental, or pharmaceutical care in a timely manner. Our analyses account for the complex sampling design of MAPS, and that included weighting. And so all population, even those we weren't looking at, were included in the analyses. We conducted univariate and bivariate analyses that produced percentages in chi-square analyses and multivariate logistic regression. We found that heavy users with disabilities were significantly more likely than heavy users without disabilities to have to delay or not receive necessary medical, pharmacy, and multiple limitations. So this is mimicking what we saw in the general population, of not just of where we weren't separating out the high utilizers. So these are the high utilizers, and even among the high utilizers, there's still this stair step. And the third bar over multiple limitations, we see that people with multiple limitations more frequently reported not receiving or delaying necessary medical care. And this was especially true for dental care. But it's important to note, however, that the absolute numbers, and that green is hard to read, but that says multiple limitations, and it's pointing to the little thin bar at the top, that the absolute numbers with for people with disabilities, as you saw in that big the circle, the blue circle inside the big yellow one, people with disabilities are much smaller, a much smaller group, but they're disproportionately, within that group, they're disproportionately represented. So when we looked at, I think I got out of order on my cards here, but again, we see that people are more likely for each type of care to have to report having had to delay or not receive necessary medical, prescription, and dental care, and that increased with the increase in the number of limitations the person experienced. And these findings were confirmed by the multivariate analyses. You'll see that there are numbers inside the bars that are showing the odds ratios. So this graph is telling us that even after controlling for sociodemographics and complex health profiles, including multiple chronic conditions and the need for assistance with ADLs and IEDLs, that people with disabilities from both of the people from both of the disability subgroups were still more likely to have to delay or forego necessary care. So for example, shown in the first blue bar, high users with multiple limitations were almost 3.3 times more likely to have foregone or delayed necessary medical care. So that's kind of shocking if you think about the health profiles of that group. Not shocking, but it's disturbing and something that we need to address. These findings point to and emphasize the importance of disability in the timely receipt of care. We know from previous work, as I mentioned, that people with disabilities use a greater number of services, and at the same time, a disproportionate number of people with disabilities overall in the big population of people with disabilities are high users. This study takes it to the next level and allows us to look at subgroups of people with disabilities rather than the big group of people with disabilities, and we see that within those subgroups of disability, we see the same patterns as we saw in the larger population overall, but that some of the subgroups are worse off than the others. Specifically, people with multiple limitations are more likely than people with only physical limitations to have delayed or foregone care, necessary care. And the vulnerability of these subgroups elevates the need to focus on them for policy and practice interventions. Again, despite their relatively small size compared to the large population, but because of their high use and high needs, we need to be focusing on them. So toward this end, the findings highlight the need for research that drills down to uncover the changeable factors that determine the diminished access of care among these high utilizing groups of people with multiple limitations and people with physical limitations, and to better understand how these two groups or even other subpopulations of people with disabilities might differ and how we might need to address them differentially in policy and practice because of that. These findings also point to the need for research to examine the interaction between disability type and health complexity, specifically IADL and ADL needs and assistance needs and multiple chronic conditions, so that we can better understand the effect of that interaction on access to necessary care. In conclusion, research overall has shown that people with disabilities are among the most important populations to monitor in policy and practice, especially those with ADLs and IADLs. And this study extends previous work by focusing on the subgroups of disability rather than the population of people with disabilities overall, and showing that there are unique experiences within those populations in terms of timely receipt of care that we need to be paying attention to. And the findings highlight that high users with physical disabilities and high users with multiple limitations are definitely populations that are actionable, and that we need to align our opportunities for public health advancement with these populations to better meet their needs. I did want to note that all of them are pre-ACA, we might see some changes in this profile somewhat. We hope to see some changes, but it'll be interesting to see that as we move forward, that's not reflected here. Just to bring us back to the metaphor from the beginning, we do sort of need to set our watch so that we don't have to worry about people getting to the point, a level of severity that there's no point of return. So our focus needs to not just be on prevention, it also needs to be on making sure that we are intervening now with the people who are already experiencing these conditions. Thank you.